Expectations are high these days for internet services that come via the cloud, whether it's calling an Uber or watching the latest Netflix show. But how many of us understand the way the cloud works and how it manages the big data needed for machine learning, artificial intelligence, and even national security? Amazon might be best known as a retail disruptor, but its bigger business is providing web infrastructure that enables everything from tracking the genetics of koalas to calculating the sums to help Qantas fly non-stop from Sydney to New York. Jeff Barr is known as the company's chief evangelist at Amazon Web Services, in other words, the company's chief spruiker. He's visiting Sydney and is speaking here with senior business correspondent Peter Ryan.
One example I love is Qantas. So they're using data and algorithms on the cloud to understand flight patterns and to plan new routes. And the amount of fuel that a jumbo jet consumes per second, every second counts. And when they can make the route even slightly more efficient, and when fuel is their largest cost, they're able to fine-tune the routes, the most direct, the safest, the least prone to flight delays, weather delays, and so forth. So that's a great big data example where lots of data, lots of compute power comes into play.
And in the case of Qantas, that's important because they're about to start experimental non-stop flights to New York. So the calculation of fuel is obviously very important.
Exactly. They're talking 18, 19, 20-hour flights. So even a several percent difference is a huge savings multiplied out over that time.
And this even comes down to things like tracking koalas and genetics.
The Australian Museum Research Institute, they wanted to have a better understanding of the koala genome, which is actually a pretty complicated genome. It's got over 3.4 billion base pairs. So what they did is they built what's called a reference genome for the koala, where they took all the little bits and pieces of the genome and they sequenced them, assembled them into one long reference, and it gave them some great insights into the diet and the food choices and the strength of the immune system of the koala, all done on the cloud with about 3 million hours of compute time. So a small organization probably wouldn't have access to enough compute power to do 3 million hours in some reasonable amount of time. The cloud lets them launch all the compute power in parallel, as we say. So they have a lot of computers running side by side, only for the amount of time needed to do that large-scale data processing.
The cloud is part of everyday life, but there is some mystique still about it. And what are some of those myths or concerns that people still have?
I think the biggest myth, the one I like to dispel every time, is that people somehow lose control of their data. The reality is that they can control the location, so they can choose exactly what spot around the globe the data is stored and processed. And they have very, very tight and fine-grained controls over exactly what parts of their application have access to that data. So the organization that is taking that data, they control where it is and how it's processed. It's not scanned, processed, or shared by others in any way, shape, or form.
And one of the myths is the cloud itself. It's not exactly up there in the cloud, but it's a series of, I suppose, redundancy sites around the globe or even in cities.
Precisely. So there's a group of what are called regions, and there are regions in many, many different locations around the world. Those are further divided into what are called zones. Each zone has independent power, cooling, security, connectivity. So by putting your application into two or more zones, you have this redundancy to make sure that if some temporary failure affects one, the overall application keeps going and the data is safe and sound.
You know, businesses, governments, government agencies and consumers worry about backup for when systems go down. So just explain perhaps the biggest challenge you had in dealing with backup and recovering services.
In almost every situation, the cloud is going to be better than what you might be able to do on premises because the cloud is purpose-built for the fact that millions of customers are going to be storing data in the cloud. So when we're designing these different data centers, we're able to really put a lot of thought into how do we implement this redundancy. We go to the extent of making sure that when we locate different centers within an area, that an earthquake in one area is not going to take out several different zones simultaneously. So we put a lot of engineering, a lot of analysis into creating this redundancy so that the data is always safe.
So having something up there in the cloud is going to be safer than having a backup hard drive or even some photos or information backed up on a USB stick.
Statistically, yes, and which is going to be a lot higher than you can accomplish on your desktop or under your desk or even in your pocket.
These days, the cloud is about big data and disruptive technologies and products like things that many consumers take for granted in today's age, like Netflix and Uber, but that's just the start.
And I think that's one of the great ideas of the cloud is that you don't have to be a large organization as far as the size of your development team or your staff in order to build a world-scale application. You could be a small group of developers in a dorm room or a desktop in a library, and you can actually aspire to building something that is world-class and world-scale.
So if we didn't have the cloud to store all this big data, what wouldn't we have in terms of services that we take for granted?
So you'd have to think about building your own data center, building your own servers. The way I see it, it's giving businesses of all shapes and sizes just the raw materials. So we are essentially the part supplier that they can take and they can use to take the cool ideas they dream up and build something awesome.
And the Australian economy is now slowing after 28 years without a recession, which is a bit of a world beater. And much of that success has been based on older technologies and systems. But to keep growing, you say businesses need to embrace the cloud.
There's going to be some hesitance, but I really think that when they start to look ahead to things like machine learning and artificial intelligence, I suspect that they're going to really say there's almost an inevitability at some point that says the only way we're going to stay competitive is to really stay leading edge with technology.
Jeff Barr, the chief evangelist with Amazon Web Services, speaking there with Peter Ryan.